Hello and welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Tim Gordon. We're just 2 weeks out from a major vote that could help shape the future of the Moda Center and the Trailblazers in Portland. The city, county, and state and team are all part of a proposed multi-million dollar renovation plan designed to modernize the arena and keep it competitive with other NBA facilities. While the state has already committed $365 million towards the project, state funding only moves forward if the city, county, and the Blazers also follow through on their commitments.
The state did their part. We're ready, if all conditions are met, to put $365 million towards this renovation. I dare say the lion's share of the renovation. You're not alone. I want to emphasize this. You're not alone. A strong state, county, city partnership is really important. And we did it. And you can do it too.
That is Senator Kate Lieber, who championed the Senate bill to fund MOTA, testifying before the Multnomah County Commission last week, where commissioners ultimately delayed a decision until August 6th. Senator Lieber was first elected to the Oregon Senate in 2020 and represents District 14, covering Beaverton and Southwest Portland. She's also co-chair of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, a key role as the state works through its funding commitment for the MOTA Center renovation. And Senator Lieber, thanks so much for being here on Straight Talk.
Boy, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate your time. Okay, so the state was first in back in March, even before Tom Dundon was officially
correct,
the new primary owner of the Blazers. Lawmakers in bipartisan votes approved $365 million in state-backed bonds for MOTA Center renovations. You were a main architect of that. So take us through the history of this and tell us why you support this so strongly.
Sure. Well, thank you. Yeah, I think anytime we do legislation, I always am trying to understand what problem we're trying to solve. And simply put, the MOTA Center is the oldest unrenovated arena that the NBA plays in. It's also the only really large Oregon arena around where we have concerts and Monster Truck and all that. So we knew then that this sort of critical cultural and economic hub needed renovations. Mm-hmm. And remember at the time, so take you back to sort of this is early March, we knew that that Paul Allen's estate had sold the team.
Right.
We knew there was a new owner coming in, and we knew the NBA had to approve that sale. So we started working on 1501 to try to figure out, like, what is it that we could do at the state level to contribute towards this renovation we knew we needed at the MOTA Center. So simply put, this is what this bill does, because we wanted to put the framework together. So we knew that we had to come up with a certain amount of money. We knew the NBA was looking for us to put something out there to say, hey, we want to make sure that you know we're in when this transfers ownership. And so we put together a bill that does a number of things. But the first thing it does is it creates basically a bank account. It's called the Oregon Arena Fund. That's the mechanics behind where the money would go. It also authorizes the Department of Administrative Services to establish a joint authority between the city and the state.
Right.
That joint authority is very important because it will have control over what gets renovated, what the budget looks like, and what the scope is. And then the third, of course, thing it did is it authorizes $365 million in bonding.
Right.
But there's a number of different things that had to happen for us to actually sell those bonds.
Right.
Okay. So the first thing is we had to have a change in ownership because remember it was before.
That was happening.
And that was happening, right?
The NBA wanted improvements, obviously.
And the NBA wanted improvements.
Sure.
So we said, okay, well, if there's a change in ownership and it's finalized and approved by the NBA, that's the first condition. That's the one that's been met. The city of Portland and the state need to enter into a joint authority because we need to understand what our roles and responsibilities are in that.
Right.
That joint authority is being negotiated as well right now. And the joint authority has to negotiate a lease with Rip City Management, the Blazers, for at least 20 years.
Right.
So we knew that had to have that. We also knew that there needed to be really strong taxpayer protections. And we had lots of conversations in this short session, which was only 35 days on that. So the first thing is on cost overruns, if it goes beyond budget, under 1501, Rip City Management pays for the overrun.
Right.
So that's an important, like, we know the budget is going to be fixed once we have the numbers. On breach protections, so when the 20-year lease, at least 20-year lease, gets negotiated, there was a lot of discussion about, well, what happens if they leave? So we actually put in that in the law that if they breach, they leave, we would get injunctive relief and liquidated damages equal to any outstanding public debt.
Right.
So that in plain terms, if they leave, we would take them to court and sue them to recover.
Right.
We also wanted to make sure that the taxpayers were represented at the state level. And so we're hiring a negotiator who does arena deals. These are not, not every day, obviously.
It's very complex. There's a lot going on.
Very complex. Yeah. And so we made sure that we're going to have at the table a negotiator for the state, right, who is going to also look for taxpayer protections. We arrived at the $365 million by calculating what we would lose if the Blazers organization left, if Rip City Management left, and then we backed into the 365. Okay. So that was kind of the way we'd gotten to that number. And then on accountability, they have to report to the legislature at least once a quarter, once the joint authority is up and running, to talk about the scope, to talk about the budget and all that.
Yep. And this passed quite overwhelmingly, bipartisan, both chambers.
Yeah.
And the Blazers at that point, they had been down and visited with you. They seemed to be on board then.
They were
the city
open
and the county, and things have changed a bit.
That's true.
I do want to ask you, though, when lawmakers approved the funding, what did you believe the partnership would look like between the state, the city, and the county, the Blazers?
Yeah, we knew that the county didn't want to have an ownership stake. And the reason they said, look, we're willing to try to get money to put in for the, for the renovations,
sure,
but we don't want to operate it. We don't own it. We're not going to operate. So we knew that. So we knew that the joint authority was just between the city and the state. There are joint authorities all over the country that we can look to say, what does a joint authority look like?
Mm-hmm.
We also knew, we were trying to figure out, and the Blazers were helpful in this, what is it we're buying for this? What are the things that we're buying? So we knew that they needed to transform some infrastructure. It's an aging building. We knew we needed HVAC and plumbing and electrical.
Yeah,
basics,
yeah.
New bathrooms.
Yeah.
The other thing that we need is, concerts over the last 30 years have changed. They have a lot of stuff, a lot of rigging, and so we are losing concerts who might come here because of the age of our building.
Yeah.
So we needed to do concert rigging improvements, and that's something that they would do, reconfigure the gathering spaces, upgrade the fan experience. We were able to understand what we were purchasing.
Right. And of course, Rip City Management manages all the events that happen at Moda Center, not just the Blazers. We've got WNBA now and a lot of concerts.
Yeah, the fire.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew we also needed, once we had the fire, one of the things that we really discussed was they've got to have a locker room that matches their status.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things we want to make sure that gets done is that.
Yeah.
But remember, it's the joint authority that has, in 1501, that has the ability to look at the budget, the scope of the project,
right,
and make decisions on what gets
built. And the city, as a partner in that joint authority, 100%. Is trying to do that right now, and it's not easy, and we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
We're going to move along a little bit. One thing that's not in the state requirement is for the Blazers to contribute any private funds to these renovations.
Right.
Why was that not made a requirement? It is a requirement in a lot of other arena deals, renovation deals around the country.
Well, I think the big thing we wanted to put in is if it went over beyond this scope, that they would pay for it. So we don't have architectural renderings because it's a little chicken or egg, right? They're like, well, we don't know how much money we were spending, so we don't have architectural renderings. So, when you renovate your house, it depends on the budget. But we knew that what they wanted from the state and public perspective was between $500 and $600 million in this capital sort of stack, and that's what we tried to put together so that the NBA would basically say to the new, because we didn't know who the new owner, we knew who they were, but they hadn't approved it yet. Basically say to the new owner, you know, no, this, they're coming in with a really good package here. It's a market deal. That was a very big, important part for us. And now you need to stay and negotiate a long-term lease.
So you don't really feel that Tom Dundon should have to put in a couple hundred million on this thing?
I mean, it was something that we had sort of talked about. It was not something that was overwhelmingly needed at the time. Remember, this was way back when. We didn't have the new owner.
Yeah.
What I really was looking for is this a market rate deal? We were working with an expert in that to understand what market rates deals are.
Market rate, I'm not sure.
Well,
I
learned more about NBA. Like, first of all, I didn't know, but, right? I learned more about like arenas and the negotiations. It all depends on the market. Yeah. Meaning, if you're in LA, those teams in LA, they have a lot of sponsorships. They've got a lot of ability to get more sponsorships. There's a lot of business who comes in. If you're in a small market like Portland, it's a different economic reality.
Okay.
For the owners.
Sure.
Okay. And so we wanted to make sure that our deal was market rate for the size of city that we have. And it has to work for them as well. So we were really focused on the smaller markets to make sure that we were aligning with those smaller markets.
Okay. Oregon taxpayers are putting hundreds of millions of dollars into this project. What should they reasonably expect in return then?
Well, under the state, remember, the way we calculated was the loss of income from Rip City.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly their taxpayers if they're here. So that's an important taxpayer protection, I think, that we have in place. I think that at the city and the county, they're going through a very, it's complicated.
Yeah.
This is a complicated thing when you have three separate governments trying to negotiate with an outside entity. It becomes complicated.
Yeah.
It was complicated even for us when we were doing this and making sure getting it through.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing is it's not easy to do something like this through city council and through the county.
I got to ask you, though, when it comes to Tom Dundon, he's a new owner coming into Portland from outside the market. His approach to the Moda Center deal has drawn questions and some criticism, too. From fans and community leaders, what's your take on him and the team and the way they're responding at this point with the city and county?
Well, I've never met Tom Dundon.
Okay.
So I've not had any conversations. I know that he has had conversations with our governor and with the mayor. And of course, he's had other conversations. I've mainly dealt with when we were dealing with it, I was mainly dealing with the management at Rip City. Yeah, I think what is really important to understand about this team that he purchased is that it is portable. And the reason I say that is they're only under a 5-year extension, this bridge lease. They are in one of the oldest arenas. We know it needs to get renovated. They're in a very, very small market. And even though our fans are the best fans in the country, and I will bet our fans against anybody else, it's a small market that you have to really make it work.
Sure.
I think that he has not shown a great he hasn't given me a lot of confidence that he wants to be here, which makes me really nervous about him taking it's risky about him taking the team, like trying to shop around.
Yeah.
I think if we had Paul Allen and Paul Allen's estate who really wanted to be here.
Right.
It's a different, you're negotiating with a different
person. It does feel different, although some will say, you know what, there's not that many great options. It takes a lot of different things to happen for it to move a team.
True.
At the top of the show, we heard part of your remarks to the Multnomah County Commissioners. We just have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to be quick.
Yep.
Last week, strongly urging them to pass this funding. We want to play another clip from you as well from the meeting.
Please do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Progress is more important than perfection.
That really caught my attention, and I wanted to play that. We mentioned they delayed the vote until August 6th.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you want county leaders to keep in mind as they make this decision?
I think that when I first testified on this in the legislature, I said Senate Bill 1501 is the first step.
Yeah.
There are many, many steps that need to occur before we have a negotiated, signed 20-year lease.
Sure.
And those steps are the county needs to figure out how much money they're putting in and what that looks like and what protections they believe they need in order to do that. I want them to get all of their questions answered and want to make sure they feel good about that. The city needs to do that as well as what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then we need to negotiate the joint authority. Then the joint authority sits down with the Blazers and negotiates what would likely be a 300-page lease, right?
Yeah.
Because even if we agree on terms, it's going to take a lot of drafting to even get it right.
Yeah.
We have to get that drafted. We're working on a bit of a time frame.
Sure.
That for two reasons. The first reason is when we did this $365 million, the bonding bill, the $200 million of it, the idea is that $200 million of it would be sold so they can start renovations in 27, mm-hmm. and $165 million of it will be sold in the next biennia to start renovations in 28.
But those could expire, I assume, if it doesn't move along.
If we don't get due diligence done by, we need to start due diligence by December in order for us to sell the bonds in the spring. And so if we don't, the legislature can decide not to reissue those bonds, right?
Yeah, and the city also has a self-imposed deadline coming up very soon on their efforts. And we want to mention
that's to keep us on track for December, right?
I mean, it's a self-imposed deadline to get
correct. It's just to keep us moving.
I want to mention. So as we're taping this on Thursday morning, mid morning, Portland City Council is holding a work session on Moda Center renovations. We're dipping in on that meeting right now. And at their invitation, Blazers management's attending, including President of Business Operations, Dwayne Hankins, who's in opening remarks, came out pretty strong, and the questions from councilors have been tough and probing. How do you see the city's bargaining position at this point? At least the Blazers are at this meeting. We didn't know that was going to happen until yesterday afternoon.
I fundamentally believe that everybody wants to come up with a good deal, and I think that the Blazers... And Rip City Management want to try to make sure that make this deal work. I think the NBA, you got to remember, the NBA is a player here.
Right.
Because the NBA has to approve whether they move. They have to approve whether kind of this is a good enough deal. But we have to negotiate with Rip City Management. But the NBA plays a very big part here.
For sure.
I haven't heard a single, I mean, I don't think there is a councilor or a city. I don't think there's a Multnomah County commissioner or a city councilor that says, oh, the Blazers, we don't care about them.
Right.
They say we want to keep them, but we want to make sure that there's strong taxpayer, right? Strong taxpayer protections. We want to make sure that there's labor protections. That's super important to us as well. We're Oregon. We have strong labor relationships with labor. We want to make sure that we get a good market rate deal.
Yep.
But look, a negotiation is give and take.
Yeah.
And we haven't even started negotiating with them.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to do. And a good negotiation, nobody's completely happy. So we'll see where it lands.
That's called a good negotiation. That's absolutely right.
We're out of time. Senator Lieber, thanks so much for joining
us. You bet.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there are certainly some critics of the Moda Center renovation financial plan. And when we come back, we're going to hear from one of them. Stay with us.
So far, the public gets none of the money and has to fill up all the money. So the value would be bad. I think it's as bad as it could possibly be.
That was Hedon Krolowitz in April, a longtime Blazers fan who's been a vocal critic of the public funding plan for Moda Center renovations. He says he's not trying to stop the project, but he wants a deal he believes delivers more value for taxpayers. Hedon joins us right now to talk about the deal and what you think it should look like. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, first off, we know you're a big Blazers fan, but beyond that, briefly share what qualifies you to critique what's happening with this funding plan. And we know you've got a website, in fact, to share your views. And then exactly what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah, so my entire, the whole purpose of what I'm trying to do is basically just create comps for what other arena deals look like around the country, right? So obviously I want the renovation to happen. Some people don't, but I would love to see an investment in the arena. I just want to make sure that what we do is fiscally responsible and that we can measure it against what other arenas and, you know, other cities have done so that we can fall somewhere in the middle in terms of what the private, you know, the private sector puts in and what the public puts in.
Because a lot of these other renovation deals do include private funding. The argument against that here in Portland is that it's not apples and apples. We're a different market, and that's what they're saying. What do you say to that?
I mean, I think we can compare other small markets, right, mm-hmm. similar to Portland, and I think those are better comps. So, you know, when you compare places like Milwaukee or Sacramento or Orlando and how they kind of do things, you can look at the percentages. Obviously, it's never going to be exactly the same.
Right.
But, you know, just like buying a house in a neighborhood, right, you look at the different houses and you kind of compare and you try to find something that's reasonable.
What do you think this arrangement should look like? What are one or two or three provisions that you think just have to be in there?
So I would love to see a return on the investment, whether it comes in the form of rent, capital contributions, revenue sharing. I think today in the work session, there was several councilors suggested ticket fees that could go back into the general fund, which would be a great return. Parking, the city built a lot of the parking lots, so it would make sense that some of that revenue came back sure. to the general fund. So I think if, you know, that $275 million that's earmarked to go back into the arena, if you know, some or all of that came back to the general fund, I think that would be a great return for the project.
Yeah. My next question is to ask you, you know, what would constitute a fair private contribution, a dollar figure, a percentage or something else? Maybe you just partially answered that, but give it some more.
Yeah. So typically what we see in other publicly owned arenas that have done renovations, not full on builds, but mm-hmm. just a renovation, you see anywhere between 18 to 62% private capital contribution. That's not including rent and revenue shares and other pilot taxes and other things that happen. So, I would love to see some contribution that exists in there. And if for some reason that's not possible, then there are other levers like the rent and revenue sharing that could, over the course of 20 years, return some reasonable value back to the public.
Are you surprised so far by Tom Dundon and the Blazers' position?
I think Tom Dundon's a really smart guy. I think he's a great, you know, he's a shrewd businessman.
Sure.
And I think he wants to get the best return for him. But he told us in his, you know, introductory press conference that he thinks the city should do a deal that's good for them. And I agree.
Yeah. You watched today's city council work session. Blazers did come down. Management came down. They're pushing the city to remove a first-class standard in the current lease that would could open the door for a lawsuit if the team's owners decide to leave Portland. Why do you think Blazers management is so fixated on that?
Well, I think the first-class standard basically defines that they owe some amount of money, right? And it's an undefined amount of money that they basically owe to make sure that the arena is first-class. It also provides a question, which is, you know, some councilors have asked, like, if this whole renovation project is to make it first-class, then, you know, why haven't you done that already, right?
Right.
And so I think there is some amount of money that's probably going to be exchanged in the negotiation. I expect it to be. And so that's a big sticking point. I don't think it actually matters. I personally don't think the Blazers are going to leave. And so I don't think it matters ultimately to, you know, whether I don't think there's going to be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is a real value to that clause. And I think both sides need to price that.
Right. And I know after the Blazers left that work session, all the councilors were saying, we are not going to sue. I don't think that would happen. Suppose Tom Dundon, though, says those terms just don't work for me. Then what? Should the city be willing to walk away from this?
I always say that the city should not try to play chicken, right? The city should put a fair deal on the table and publicly and say, look, we're doing our part. We looked at all the other arena deals that exist, and we're going to put something, you know, right down the middle. And then, you know, we can go from there. But I think that's all the city can do, right? At the end of the day, they can put forth a deal that they believe is fair based on data-driven facts and let the cards play as they may.
Where do you think it stands right now? Because we've got a long way to go. But do you think the city is getting itself in a little bit better position at this point?
Well, I was heartened to see that there's some amount of money that's going to come back, which is better than zero, sure. which is what I said in April.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that we're moving in that direction. I think ultimately, you know, one of the interesting things that came out of the council work session was, I think the Blazer staff said, they said something along the lines of, you know, this isn't, they said that they already think it's a first-class arena.
Yeah.
And they believe that this is not just about the arena, but it's about the area around the arena, which is new to me because I always thought that we were talking about an arena.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear your perspective, and we hope to have you back on. We're out of time for now.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Adan. Appreciate it very much. And thank you for watching. A reminder, you can get caught up on the latest on the Moda Center innovations on our website, kgw.com. We'll see you next week.